Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Wednesday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host, Andrew. Oh no, that sounds horrible, Andrew. My mum says that when I'm cleaning my room. Clear your room up, Andrew! Yeah, Andy Goldstein. Anyway, we've got, of course, all the fallout from the evening's Carabao Cup action coming your way, including Newcastle getting dumped out by Brentford. But we kick things off with Wolves boss Nuno Espirito Santo, who was fuming with referee Lee Mason after they lost to Burnley on Tuesday night.
It's not about the crucial mistakes or the decisions. It's about the way he handles the game. The players get nervous.
So is it ever right for managers to single out referees for personal criticism, with Nuno being asked by the Football Association to explain his comments? Well, this was the reaction across TalkSport, where you'll hear from Adrian Durham on Drive, Middlesbrough boss Neil Warnock, Simon Moni McMonalot, Jordan, Katie Price's ex-husband. But first up, it's the former Premier League referee, Mark Horsey-Housey.
I mean, we've seen David Moyes come out last night. We see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on the weekend criticising Anthony Taylor for cautioning, saying it was a shocking piece of refereeing, for cautioning Dan James for simulation. Now, if you look at referees, it's like the Premier League, it's like a squad of football team or a batting list.
Yeah.
And Lee Mason fits into that lower order. And then is it his fault? Is it the training and education? How many big games has Lee Mason refereed? You never see him doing a match to Derby or the Merseyside Derby. Is it really his fault?
The Wolves manager has the right to have that conversation with the referee privately. He has the right to report on that referee to the framework of the game, saying this is unacceptable, this referee's performance. He didn't need to do what he did. No one asked him the question. He volunteered that information, and that information going beyond the, I thought he went beyond the pale, Mark.
The referee doesn't have quality to whistle a game on a Premier League.
If a referee turned around and said to the manager during the game, I'm sick and tired of your players diving, and went on camera and said, all your players are diving, I'm holding the manager responsible for that, there'd be uproar for it. And I thought that Santos was a little bit wider than Mark. I'm all for calling people out. I want the referees to be accountable. And I look at this and say, yeah, it's right to call people out, but you can't have a manager doing what he did and making it about the overall perspective.
Lee Mason does not, as far as I'm aware, have a history of not being able to talk to players. When you speak privately to players or coaches or managers, I've not heard any of them single out Lee Mason as the one who's no good at that side of things. So this, for me, is a very personal thing between Nuno and Lee Mason.
Nuno Espirito Santo has been asked to explain comments he made about Lee Mason yesterday. The FA wants his observations after the Wolves manager said he doesn't want Mason in charge of their matches again.
I'm not for Nuno coming out and blasting referees like he did. It was like that conversation should have took place in his dressing room. That should have been between the two of them, and that's it, and they go home.
There is a way that Nuno can talk to Lee Mason about this. There's a way that Nuno can go to the refereeing authorities or the Premier League about this as well. He doesn't have to go public, but he has. And what that's done now is given the Wolves players and Wolves fans any excuse they want to have a blast at Lee Mason. And it's just a personal thing now.
I think he understands the game and he's one of those that talks to the players. I think he's a very good referee. Yeah, and I wish we had him in the Championship. You know, nowadays, there's always something controversial to think about, whether you've won or lost, haven't you? And when you win a game, you let it go, really. But when you lose a game, it just magnifies. As you walking down to the tunnel to talk to him, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, and it all comes out. I don't, you know, it's one of those spontaneous things, I think. And we're all the same.
Now, Arsenal got absolutely tonked at home as they took on Man City last night in the Carabao Cup quarter final. You'll hear the fallout on my show, the Anyone Sees Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. But before the match, there was still plenty of discussion about Mikel Arteta and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang from the former Villa captain Andy Townsend, as well as Katie Price's ex-husband Simon Jordan.
When you look at the perspective, how we are losing football matches and how we are where we are, it's pretty incredible.
These statistics are being trotted out regularly as probability of scoring a goal, probability of winning a game. They're used on one hand to advance a set of parameters that people should view the game through before the game. So he's just throwing it back and saying, OK, well, the statistics don't actually bear out the end results. Burnley were given no chance of winning this game, and during the performance of the game, they were given no chance of winning it, yet they've won it.
Last weekend, it's 67% chance of winning any Premier League in history and 9% of losing, and you lose.
So my players are doing the right thing, they're just not getting the right outcome. His overriding message is, we're doing the right thing, we're just not getting the right outcomes. So we're going to keep on doing the right thing, we're going to weather this particular storm, and we'll keep on doing it until we get the right outcome.
It looks like it's gone in off the head of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and would therefore go down as an own goal.
And if it's going to help you, give the armband to somebody else. If it's going to get you back to the man that you were, you know, then do it. Because the best way you can lead Aubameyang is not by trying to clench his fist and going up to players and sticking it in their face. It's like, knock the ball in the back of the net. Do what he does naturally. That's the best way you can lead.
There's a bit of tension in the legs of the Arsenal players as I looked across to their side of the pitch, and it maybe takes the feeling when you look out there of a David and Goliath clasp.
And here's Foden finding Zinchenko against the byline and wraps his left foot around it. Gabriel Jesus heads it in. Didn't take long, did it?
We started to play better and have more control of the game. We scored a really good goal and we were the better team for the next 25 minutes. Saying that, when we had the best momentum in the game, we conceded another soft goal.
Runison surely can't see anything. No. Not a chance. There's an Arsenal player down behind the wall. Fernandinho leaves it. Mahrez, and it's through the goalkeeper and in. Horrible moment for Runison.
I'm getting bored of a discussion about relegation because they are relegated. They're relegated.
Don't it's be done. Silly, Simon.
No, please, just let me say it.
Well, you've been silly. Relegated. Go on, I'll let you say it. You're silly.
No, I'm not being silly. They're down. And as for Arteta, I've never said this about anybody. I'm sick of the sight of him. I'm sick of his nonsense talking, and he is solely responsible for our performance now.
Really hard time. Hopefully it's going to change the next game against Chelsea, because we need that, because if not, the situation is unsustainable.
I can speak on him about my experience. Alongside in winning the most incredible success in one English team for all history that we had, and he's incredible part of this success. We would not have been possible without him.
I think if Arsenal were to go closer to the bottom three, if they were to slip into the bottom three in a few games' time, I think they're in big trouble.
And my son's 4 years old. I bought him his first Arsenal kit last year. And he said to me the other day, he said, can I have another Arsenal kit? I said, mate, no. And I'll tell you what, I'm genuinely embarrassed to support Arsenal now. And
you can't do that.
You denied your son an Arsenal shirt.
Boys, let me tell you, I bought him an Arsenal shirt at the beginning of last season, and my daughter's 7, she's got one as well, so both my kids have got Arsenal strips. And my daughter come in, she got the back end of the conversation, she went, well, what shirts are we going to wear then? And I said, you're not having an Arsenal kit until I start improving. Now, so my daughter started reeling off teams that she could support, and she started with Spurs and West Ham, and they was automatic no's. And I ended up with Chelsea, because I thought, you know what, I can get up there on the Victoria line, I'll go and watch a Chelsea game, and they're not our arch rivals. But, I mean, how embarrassing is that? I never thought, as a 40-year-old man, I'd have my kids wearing Chelsea kits. But that's where we've got to now with Arsenal.
And in another Carabao Cup quarter-final, Brentford, would you believe, beat Newcastle, or Newcastle, as some people call it. Anyway, they beat them to reach the last four. Massive semi they've got. You'll hear from Steve Bruce, but first, here's the Bees manager, Thomas Frank.
This is a big moment for the club that we managed to go to the semi-final of the Carabao Cup. It's, you know, when we are a club of the size of Brentford and we are constantly trying to build and develop and achieve bigger things, this is a big step. And especially the way we have done it in terms of beating now four Premier League sides.
Scoops the ball to the edge of the area. Josh De Silva makes it, first time on the edge of the area, and volleys the ball past Carl Darlow and volleys Brentford into the lead.
I can't be more disappointed than I feel right now at this particular minute. If I'm the
the bait of it all, of course, being the person who picks the team and sets the team up, then I've got to accept it. And unfortunately, in the last week in particular, we haven't played well enough. You know, we've got a few problems. However, I still expected us to perform better than that.
Steve Bruce played a full-strength team tonight. I mean, we didn't have a kick of the ball. We didn't have a shot on target. He needs to go tonight. Tomorrow.
That was a draw and you went into extra time. It looked like they probably wouldn't score. You know, the finishing wasn't great. Carroll obviously had a couple of chances. Wilson in normal time. You're never going to please players, certainly when they're not playing. They certainly didn't look totally as if they were on board, certainly at times.
Now, Millwall and Ipswich Town have joined Sunderland and Peterborough in cancelling fixtures over the coming week, but the EFL is not planning to bring in mandatory COVID-19 testing. Portsmouth CEO Mark Catlin told White and Jordan that at the current rate, he couldn't confirm their game on Boxing Day will definitely go ahead.
We haven't had the test back. I haven't spoken to Swindon. Everyone that's tested positive. Actually, our whole squad has gone into isolation at the moment just as a precaution. So clubs individually are doing what they can. Would mandatory testing solve the issue? I don't think it will solve the issue. I think, as you said, and it wouldn't be surprised in the next few weeks if you see it start filtering into Premier League clubs as well. We shouldn't be treated different to any other industry, whether it be supermarkets, construction, retail, whatever that might be. If there's an acceptance that elite sport is carrying on, we're governed by government guidelines and the various protocols which we all put in place. The PFA, obviously the players union, as you know, they funded heavily inspections aligned with the SGSA of the training grounds of the various stadiums. They're quite happy on the whole. Why would football be any different?
Now, following the one-year anniversary of Carlo Ancelotti's appointment as Everton boss, White and Jordan were joined by the Everton assistant manager and Carlo's son, David Ancelotti. He spoke glowingly about England's centre-forward, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and also told them that the Toffees may take a look at their Merseyside rivals to provide inspiration for their project.
When Klopp came in, was completely different. If you watch the first game that he was in charge, the team of Liverpool was not the team that he is today. I think that with the planification and to be patient and try to build year by year, you can reach objectives if you are ambitious. And I think that Everton can follow the way that Liverpool had in the last years.
Calvert-Lewin for a hat-trick. There it is. That's his second match ball at Goodison Park this season.
The special ability that he has and is the ability that all the big talents have is that he knows his body really well. He knows his feelings really well. And is not so common. For example, Ronaldo was a player like this. He's able to understand his body.
Now, this is former English striker Darren Bent on Breakfast. Recalling the time, Juan de Ramos was sacked at Spurs and now Harry Redknapp was brought in straight away to replace him. But first, old Benty spoke about the Spaniard's shocking diet that the Spurs players had to stick with. Now, if memory serves me correct, it was a fillet of fish in the morning, it was a Big Mac at lunchtime, and in the evening they just had some carrots. I think I've got that right.
One day came in,
yeah.
There was one meat option,
yeah.
One fish,
yeah.
And maybe like rice or veg, and that was it. There was no salt, no pepper, no flavour.
I thought you were going to say, but in the plus side, there was six options of crumble.
No crumble.
And that was it. And that was like, the lads are like, I'm not having this. I'm downing tools because I can't have a cherry bakewell for pudding.
No, but you know what though?
I'm on 80 grand a week, but if I can't have rhubarb and custard, this is over.
That's all right. When you've trained in the morning, yeah. And then obviously you've had your lunch at the training ground, which has not been great, and then you get on a coach, travelling to wherever you get to, and you get to the hotel and you think, I'm a bit hungry, I can't wait for dinner. Yeah. And it will come down, there's dry rice, dry pasta, by the way. There's a pasta option with no sauce. So you try and eat pasta with no sauce.
He's got to go from where I'm sitting.
Pasta, no sauce. No salt and pepper.
Just nothing on the pasta.
Not even a tomato.
Did they cook the pasta?
The pasta was cooked.
Okay, right.
But you try and eat dry pasta, dry chicken, yeah. And dry vegetable. And no crumble.
So you sent Ledley King to go and talk to him.
Ledley was like, listen, Gaffer, this is like we're struggling here. He has to go to his number two because his English wasn't the best.
Right.
Gaffer, we have to stop with his food.
You know when like someone at school smells a bit and you're like, how do you like plant some deodorant near them? Is it Ledley King just like sitting next to Juan de Morris going, this Don Mio is really lovely. Have you ever tried this? Just anything.
Honestly, it was
That's
tough.
Amazing.
Yeah, the food was really tough to eat. He was struggling a little bit. We were near the bottom of the table in a hotel in Canary Wharf, and we get a phone call to our rooms basically saying, oh, can everyone come down? So you kind of half thinking, well, what's going on here? Like, I think you kind of guess that what's happening? I think maybe we're going to change a manager here, but you don't know. So we get down there and Daniel Levy's there and he basically just says, oh, look, listen, we're going to go in a different direction. We'd like to thank Wande Ramos for what he's done for Spurs, won the League Cup and stuff, but we're going in a new direction. Now, it's at this point, this moment, I can't remember if Harry walks in.
Or, it's like a reality show. Yeah.
Or Harry's just sitting there.
If it was a smallish club where you could go and, you know, do something, I would be interested.
But it's like, well, Harry Redknapp's going to be our new manager. And he just stands up, all right, guys, how you doing? Yeah, I'm the new manager. And that was it. It was kind of strange because it happened so quickly. Because we'd seen Wande that morning. So whatever had gone on must have gone on during the day. Took training, I'm pretty sure took training. Saw him in the evening.
Sure. Gone.
Now, the Spurs boss, Jose Mourinho, has been speaking to the media ahead of their Carabao Cup quarterfinal with Stoke on TalkSport 2 tonight. It's a 5:30 kickoff, and the game itself wasn't the special one's main concern, though. It's the away dressing room. Particularly after these comments a few weeks ago from the Borough boss, Neil Warnock.
The facilities that we've got changing was an absolute disgrace today. I want to put animals in it. You know, the toilets were blocked up. They've got fumes coming in from a bloody engine outside the dressing room. Water everywhere on the floor. It's a disgrace for the Championship. Absolute disgrace.
I have a video of it. A video made from colleagues that work in another team that recently played against them, and I was not going to raise the question. You raised that question.
I hope we do the same when we play them up at our place, rather than give them the comfortable... We weren't even social distancing where we were, in these cabins what they put in. We might as well have been in the dressing room. You know, we're too nice, us up there.
But I think shouldn't be a question for me. Should be a question for the authorities, all the authorities, football authority, safety authorities, but not for me. I'm not going to be the bad guy that is going to make comments about Stoke away dressing room.
And we finish on breakfast with, who is it, Max? No, it doesn't matter. And Ali McQuist discussing mullets.
Mine was like a championship mullet.
Right, you know okay. I mean? Ensley League, yeah. Division 2.
No, not that low. It was better than that, to be fair.
Okay.
You don't need to put me down there. It was a championship mullet. But Wardle's was just a different league, wasn't it? Yeah. And I think he's got a point. Think about that mullet. The return of Chrissy Wardle's mullet. What a statement it would make.
Would you, obviously, you have less hair than in previous times.
where are we going here?
Yeah, no. and listen, you know, you're doing it gracefully. You know, other people have had, you know, advertised very badly, you know, hair restoring systems,
who?
If you like.
Who?
I mean, Darren Goff, for one.
Between now and January the 3rd, the TalkSport Network brings you all the festive football you'll ever need. You'll hear more than 20 live commentaries, including tonight's Carabao Cup quarterfinal, Stoke against Spurs, that's 5:30 on TalkSport 2, and Everton against Manchester United, that's 8 p.m. on TalkSport. We'll also bring you 4 exclusive Premier League matches on Boxing Day, including Leicester against Manchester United, and all 10 Premier League fixtures taking place from next Monday until Wednesday. Download the TalkSport app and listen to the games you want to hear. That's it for a very professional read. Right, I can ad-lib now. I'm back today on Drive. Yes, Drive, from 4 p.m, would you believe, alongside Goffe. But a reminder that Cundy and Perry Groves will be on Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar tonight from 10 p.m, taking your calls, of course, on those Carabao Cup quarterfinals. There will obviously be another one of these Andy Goldstein TalkSport Daily podcasts out first thing in the morning, so do what you've got to do to download it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. And above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.